Dear children of the resurrection, wow was what the headline read. Now, it could be for many things, but it turned out to be for the Kentucky Derby this year. Rich Strike at 80-1 odds won. The last of the 21 horses to run that you would expect to win. And I went online, and as I was looking around, I discovered that in 2012, an 18-hand horse, a stallion, that's a very tall horse, by the name of Wow Factor won. And as you look at that, you begin to say, well, is Pastor going to preach a sermon about wagering? No. What would you wager on your life as the wow factor, that which changes so much? Well, you could take a test on your DNA. Did you know that the DNA tests have doubled every year for the last 5 years? Maybe you should have invested in that. But it's not just for ancestry. Actually, what they're beginning to promote is that you can discover what's coming in your bloodline, your genetics, and you can take preventative medicine. Sounds good, doesn't it? Can you imagine having a pill? The pharmaceuticals give us a pill that would settle a classroom down. The teacher gets, everything's out of control. She says, now everybody sit down, you're going to take your pill. And then they get along. I mean, moms, wouldn't you love this? Two daughters are fighting, time to take your pill. And it doesn't just help the kids, it's good for marriage. What about at prisons? Now, you guys stop fighting, you better take your pill. I think it's a little bit wistful, but you could call it the cartoon chipmunk kindness. Do you remember Chip and Dale? After you. No, after you. There's not going to be a pill like that, because human nature is what it is. There is something that is more attractive than looking at it through that lens. It is that there's a new life that flows forth with a special gift from God. It is the love that Jesus has for us. And in our text, John 13, we'll see Jesus get up from his hands and knees and declare to the disciples, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. On page 10, you'll find my outline. The wow factor always happens near Jesus. So let's be wowed by the choice of activity that Jesus makes. And then let's intentionalize that into our own lives. It's stunning to observe what Jesus knows and then how he responds. He knows that before the end of the night, he is going to be betrayed, arrested, that they are going to mock him, ridicule him, beat him, and crucify him. He knows that. So how does the chapter begin? He now showed them the full extent of his love. He knows that he is going to go back to the Father, that he's going to glorify him by his next steps in life. And what do you see him do? He responds by getting on his hands and knees and washing their feet like a servant would do. And when Judas would draw attention to himself, then Jesus would say, when he has dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, and it was night. Go and do what you have chosen to do. What a dark moment in that beautiful setting of the disciples receiving the love of Jesus. And you could actually say, why didn't he go on and talk about how evil Judas had been and what it was going to get him in life? Because that is going to come up, isn't it? Judas is going to take his own life. But rather than doing that, he says, little children, I'm going to leave. And yet I'm not going to leave you alone. In fact, it's kind of interesting that in the context, he deals with another disciple who doesn't go the way of Judas. Do you remember that Peter denied Jesus before the end of the night? It starts this way. "Lord, where are you going?" said Peter. And Jesus responded, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." And then Peter says, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Wow. Wow, Peter, how could you be so wrong? But that's when Jesus shows his mission, his intent, is to promise them he will not leave them. He will not abandon them. As the Father will have to abandon his Son, the Savior will be there right by their side. And so Jesus moves into this unloving environment with an amazing capacity to love those that should have been pushed aside. Think about what it was like to be in the presence of this kind of pure, untethered, unconditional love. The disciples, when they look back on this night, must have been overwhelmed that Jesus, how could he have remained focused on washing their feet when he's about to be crucified? How could he have been so kind to Judas to call him a friend? Or Peter, who would weep bitterly over his denial? It's because of who Jesus is. It's because Jesus came to save. Made me think about the ultimate sacrifice, and this is all the further that many Americans get, is the Medal of Honor. So I went out and looked at Medal of Honor recipients. I knew one young man that jumped on a grenade in Vietnam. He didn't come home alive. There are only 3,500 Medal of Honor recipients. I went to the conflict of Iraq to see who was the last one to give his life and receive the Medal of Honor. His name was Sergeant First Class Thomas Paine. In where the insurgents were holding captives, he ran and was able to blow off of its hinges a very solid door. And so multiple times he exposed himself to machine gun fire and brought hostages out. Returning again and again, he released 75 prisoner captives who were able to survive the conflict and go on living. And when he went back one last time to see if anybody was there, he took a bullet. And that was the end of his life. He received the Medal of Honor for his courage. You know, this pales in comparison to the perfect Son of God. This is the infinite one, the most powerful person in all of history, in all of creation. God combined together with human being. And as he says, "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." This is releasing the captives who didn't need to be released, who shouldn't have been. This is Jesus coming into our world. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love to us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, a little different analogy maybe would be found in the Gulf, in the ocean. You know that when oil derricks blow up or if there's some kind of an accident, the oil will skim to the surface and it creates an oil slick. If you've ever seen pictures of animals that are caught in this, it's sure death. Usually it'll be like ducks or geese or something like that, and they're just covered with black and there's no hope. They're going to die. But did you also know that on those coastal cities there are people who go out and rescue? They get the tubs of Dawn or whatever cuts the grease, and they dip those animals and clean them up, and many of them survive. Not all of them, but many survive. If you think about Adam and Eve, from the very beginning, there was an oil slick of sin. Every human being comes up through that sin and is destined for death. And it is God's design, God's desire for there to be rescue. Sinning against the infinite God is infinite sin. And so God would go beyond infinity to rescue us. You know, there's an old song. It kind of talks about love, but not in this dimension. The Beatles song, "All We Need Is Love." And some of you can hear the melody right as soon as I say that. But there's more. There's more to love than just having a good feeling, a camaraderie, a security among each other. This is the love of God in Christ. It is tied to the role model of Jesus, and it redesigns our house into a loving home. "My children, I will be only with you a little longer. You will look for me. Just as I told the Jews, so now I tell you, where I'm going, you cannot come." This is the one that would put himself into the position to comfort, even while he was facing a sure, terrifying, horrifying event, his own crucifixion. But rather than us being sad about it, we understand why he did it, what he came to accomplish. And there's good in Jesus going in this direction. It is that he, the head of the body, is going to be wounded to save all of us. It is he, the shepherd, who goes out there to put his life on the line for the sheep. It is he who is the perfect one, the bridegroom, giving himself up for the bride. Ephesians 3 is the Apostle Paul's expression about our family. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." This isn't a pill you swallow. This is what happens inside a human heart when Jesus has become who he really is, when he has become Savior and Lord in their lives. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the fullness of God." That's the full extent of love. To watch the perfect Son of God lay himself down in front, that he takes all of it for the disciples and for us. And so when we've seen that, we hope to intentionalize that same chosen activity in our lives. And we must see the parallel. The parallel in his example shows up throughout John. He gives them a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in fact, he's going to parallel it in an earlier part of chapter 13. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done." And this is going to run the gamut of all we do, both internally in our families and our family of faith, and out into the world. In John 15, he says, "This is my commandment," new commandment, "that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Loving one another. All across the New Testament. And it means that we give ourselves from service all the way to sacrifice. From the menial of washing feet to the willingness to die or even live for another. Again, notice how his night and next day are going to go. He gives himself willingly into the hands of the enemies to be betrayed, and taken advantage of. His way of fighting isn't with power, but with the power of love. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is why it's a new command. It's because Jesus now is going to show them the resurrection power. That you don't have to be afraid of being attacked and wounded and hurt by others. You can stand your ground just like he did. Resurrection people are able to wake up every day and say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us give ourselves to him in praise. The Greek word is agape. Agape is a human quality. It is seen in Jesus and it is carried out through us. And in Galatians, it will have an expression because it's the fruit of the Spirit. As you are tied to Jesus, the wow factor always happens near Jesus. He's the vine, we are the branches, and so we produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A word that's used today that's kind of new is intentional lies. And what it means basically is the classic use your willpower. And in fact, you could say it's to bring your actions and your intentions into harmony. Or as one author would say, do it again on purpose. You have loved because you want to be like Jesus. Do you know how much of an impact the early Christians had on Roman society? The reason it's still around and we are inheritors of this is because it changed the world. One of the pagan writers, Lucian, a Roman, wrote this. It's incredible to see the fervor with which the people of that religion help each other in their needs. They spare nothing. Their first legislator, that was his term for Jesus, has put into their hearts that they are brothers and sisters. We're disciples of Jesus. And it isn't our theological correctness. It isn't our moral purity. How far we can stand apart from or be different than the world. It isn't our impressive knowledge. The choice is our activity to love. It is acts of service and of sacrifice that show that Jesus is our Savior. Children of God understand what that really is. It's a glorious gift. And I'll close by describing it in a legend. A Gaelic legend said that there was an event that occurred that changed their culture. A mountain town had a very large, impressive eagle that roosted up in the mountains. Everybody knew the sound of the eagle, the wingspan. What they didn't know that it could invade closely. They watched with horror as the eagle came down and with its talons picked up a 15-month-old baby and carried it away. Strong enough to float it all the way to the nest. Immediately, a council was drawn up, and the strong men of the village went after it. They all ascended the mountain to try to get to the nest and rescue the baby. They knew the eagle wouldn't immediately kill the child. They came back empty-handed. Nobody had the strength or the courage to climb and to defend against the eagle and to get there. And then, amazingly, the door opened, and there was the child. In the arms of a fragile woman. She was half the size of most of the men that went. How could she have accomplished this? They were astounded. They were wowed. And this is really what it is. They said, how did you do it? She said, it's pretty simple. I'm the baby's mother. Nothing was going to stop me. Well, you see, the command to love one another is right here in front of us. It's not a difficult pill to swallow. You can't get it from a pharmaceutical. It comes directly from Jesus, his command in our heart, and from not just his example, but his forgiveness. So find someone that needs you and love them like Jesus, and the world will become brand new, recreated in the image of God the way it was designed to be. Amen.